Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Michelle Cachet, filling in for Michael's wife, Jeannie. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is Friday, September 13th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Michael. We would love to hear from you today, your comments, your questions, because then that makes this your show. So now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning forgiveness.
Thank you, young lady. Delight to have you with us once again and getting a handle on how the switchboard and how that whole thing works. Thank you for your support. How are you today?
Actually, I am in the space of a miracle right now.
Oh, anything to share with us about your miracle?
I'm blessed at this moment. I was at my office about 15 minutes ago preparing to get online, and I realized that the internet connection was giving me a problem. And so about 10:02, I made a decision, and I got in my car and drove to the nearest library, and then I tried to log on online here, and there was a problem with my laptop connecting to the public service. So I engaged a librarian who opened a room, and so actually I am in a space with three other library patrons who are using their computers, and I am doing the show from the library, and I just squeezed in under the 30 seconds. So I'm sure I'm being a bother to them, and there's maybe some other computers that they could relocate. But at this point, I'm shocked that I'm here and glad that I made it. And within moments to go, I was hearing the intro music through my cell phone while I was still waiting for the computer to, find the site and log in, and it was slow. And it's amazing. And I pulled it off. I guess I have a lot of gratitude for what you and Jeannie do in terms of managing your life and then being able to make the commitment with integrity every single day. It's apparent that that is a huge amount of sacrifice to maintain that level of commitment.
Well, we appreciate your support, Michelle.
It has been an interesting challenge from time to time when we're on the road in some of the strangest places getting to do the show. And my thought would be that perhaps the patrons who are going to be listening to you as they sit there instead of being bothered just might have their lives changed. Who knows?
That would be kind of cool.
I think you do need to still switch on the chat room. It's not showing as open.
You know, that computer is giving me a problem. I'm working on that.
Cool. Well, you're looking at that. Let's just put a few thoughts out about what our work together is, the work of forgiveness, as it was taught in the ancient Aramaic several thousand years ago, has nothing whatsoever to do with what our culture teaches about us letting each other off the hook because of individual internal dynamics that we want to blame on everybody else, but rather forgiveness is the tool with which you go inside yourself and remove your pain, your turmoil, your trauma, sadness, fear, guilt, etc. And when you recognize the possibility of that and you move in the direction of removing what never belonged, a really awesome experience happens. And I bring this up this morning because this morning in particular, a new level of that opened for me personally as I was awakening this morning. And if you can imagine, you know, one of the questions we ask when we first introduce the work to people is, how many have ever held a newborn child? And then we ask, describe in a single word the essence of the newborn. And wherever we are on the planet, everywhere people's answer about the newborn is some variation on the theme of love, on the theme of this awesome presence of love that we're designed to function as. And few, I think, have ever sat back, and we invite you to do this right now, is just sit back and imagine. Maybe somebody could hit the mute button. There's a little bit of noise in the background. Imagine what that newborn experience is physiologically. That sweet presence that they are, imagine what that feels like physically in your physiology. And could you imagine that if you were to delete or remove all hostility or fear that has been structured into by your culture, that you could actually be experiencing that totally and completely, physically, all the time? Imagine what the presence of that sweet space of love is in every cell of your structure, and imagine trillions of cells just ringing out with that energy. You know, in the East, they call the result of one doing one's work nirvana or bliss. And I'd offer that physical bliss is your natural state of being. If you were functioning as a natural human being and had an actual natural human life operating within your physiology. Now, you look at the average person and the way they deal with their world, the rage, the grief, the pain, the trauma, the drama, the slightest drop of a hat, and they're just filled with their frustration and rage. And imagine the reason why that is has nothing whatsoever to do with the world around you. The average person says, oh, well, you know, I'm enraged because that other driver cut me off. I'm enraged because this person won't do what they're supposed to do. I'm in fear because that person did this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. And that's all a lie, and that's all a story. The truth is, if you're experiencing something less than love, whatever the circumstance is, it's because inside of your cells, there's something less than love. And that which is less than love does not belong there. In the ancient Aramaic, the work of Yeshua was about removing those things that never belonged. It was the work of forgiveness. Nothing to do with, I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. That's a Greek idea. The Greeks externalized everything. It was all about blame and look at how it's your fault. You did something really terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay. I'll forgive you. And we've been convinced in our culture that that's what forgiveness is. And it always amazes me. The people, especially who proclaim to know Yeshua, who proclaim even to represent Yeshua, and they don't have a clue what he taught. They don't have a clue as to how to change the content of their own minds to remove the hostility and fear that never belonged. When Yeshua says in Aramaic, you go a bit to the Aramaic translations, the way the Greeks translate it, he says, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. And forgiving from your heart the wrongs of your brother has nothing to do with letting somebody else off the hook for the fact that your cells are producing pain, turmoil, or trauma. Forgiveness is how you go inside yourself and remove your pain, turmoil, or trauma so that you no longer build your brain's image of your brother out of your own internalized, denied, and dissociated pain. And so to reach inside yourself and remove what never belonged is to be relieved of that burden and to move back into the space where literally 24/7, 365, whatever anybody else is doing around you, you actually are filled with the physical cellular presence of love. Imagine what that is. And imagine yourself able to live there. Now, if that's not where you're living, then I just invite you to consider that that could be where you're living. But the first step in changing that, if you're living in some form of hostility or fear most of the time, the first step is to stop talking about everybody else as the cause of your hostility and fear and recognize there is a singular reason for your hostility or fear, and that's because you have that in you. There's no because. I'm angry because of this. I'm sad because of that. I'm afraid because of this. If you're angry, if you're sad, you're afraid, there's only one reason. That's what's stored in your cellular structure. And if you choose to engage in the actual work of Yeshua, then you remove from your cellular structure literally all hostility, fear, grief, rage, and pain, and you return to being fired by, being powered by, on a cellular level, the active presence of love, a human life. And so that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to share with you. And if you have any questions about that process, our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations we don't have in our switchboard, if you don't have access to that number, our phone number is 646-200-4169. 646-200-4169. And we would love it if you called into the show, and we'd love to share with you exactly what it is that these tools are about and support you in the integration of those tools and the return to the total experience of the physical presence of love in your body. Now, if you want to access, if this is a new idea to you, if you've been blaming your spouse or your children or your parents or your employer or whoever, you know, the variety is that you could blame, if you've been doing that, then we invite you to engage in the process of forgiveness. You can find the technology of how to do this on our website. It's there free. And our website is www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link that says Start Here. Or right about the center of the page, you'll see a bullseye. If you click on that, it'll open a whole series of links. And that series of links will take you into an explanation of how to begin, how to engage in the process of forgiveness and remove what never belonged. Those who are attached to their rage and their grief and their guilt and their fear will not be interested. They may talk about doing it, but when the stress is up and the chips are down, the thing they trust the most is their hostility, their fear, their ability to intimidate, their need to be right, all sorts of different games that get played that take us out of the presence of love. We're here to offer that. You are designed 24/7, 365 to physically experience the sweetness in the cellular structure of your form of the active presence of love. And that's what we're here to support. And so, Michelle, is Dr. Tim with us today?
Dr. Tim is with us today, and we also have a caller with her hand up, so your choice.
Cool. Well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim, see how the young man be, and see if he's got anything to share with us.
Well, I'm doing quite well. Thank you for having me here. Michelle, did you get my message through Facebook?
Actually, I got a message from Muffy, but not from you yet.
Okay, so it's better to get me through email than Facebook. So I put my email address in that message, and just let me know if you didn't get it.
Okay, I'll check up on that later. Thank you.
When you check on Facebook. And I'm doing quite well, thank you. Very, very, very busy here, blessedly busy, and helping people. Essentially, so far this morning, exactly what you just went through in your life is what we were talking about twice this morning.
How cool. Great minds think alike, right?
Yeah, well, when you're teaching this work, sometimes you run into the same concepts over and over again and have to build new brain cells at deeper and deeper levels. So it's, this morning it was just two different people who were very, very convinced that they were justified in their anger. And I let them know that if they want to be justified in their anger, they can be, and all they'll get is more anger. And it doesn't mean they're not going to feel their anger. It just means they should understand what it's there trying to tell them, and how it's a useful indicator of a mistake within them, not in the person they're looking at. And that's a very startlingly new concept for most people to get a handle on. As a matter of fact, one of the people said to me, okay, so are you actually trying to tell me that if you're driving in a car and you're driving with somebody you love and somebody runs a red light and smacks into your car and kills the person next to you that you love, that you're not going to get angry? And I said, no, I'm not about to tell you that at all. I'm just here to tell you that if I experience anger in response to a situation like that, it's energy that was already in me before the traumatic event happened, and that's what gets resonated. And it was quite a while to unravel that and sort that out for them, but that's what we're up to. We're up to trying to help people understand that as a result of external events resonating energy inside of me, I will feel all kinds of different things. And if I don't like them, if I'm labeling them as bad and I don't want to keep feeling that, I need to reach inside of me with tools like the ones offered on whyagain.org and dismantle that energy. So I'll have none of that in my stores to get resonated. So that's been the theme for today. Emptying the stores.
That's kind of the conversation that I had earlier this morning with a gentleman. He called from Portugal, and I was talking to him, and he was actually in one of the sort of the concierge areas or whatever, and he was just checking to see if we needed transport between places. And so then he was like, okay, curiosity. He says, tell me about your workshops. So that was pretty phenomenal. And I was just talking about, you know, how you have to empty what's in you that doesn't belong. And so I opened the door there where there's a possibility even that while we're at the timeshare, just in our downtime, that we might be able to do some workshops there for the staff and other guests at that timeshare. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, that was our conversation on the phone as well.
Well, it's so new to so many people that it takes a little bit of backing up and slowing down and people being willing to breathe in order for even the initial explanation to get out there without a lot of but. So.
Yeah, there's always one little incident that but this doesn't fit what you're saying, or this is different, or
yeah,
absolutely. So I think
Michael
just stepped out
saying,
of the room. There he is.
Are you saying we have to get off our butts?
We absolutely do. Yep, we absolutely do. And engage our regulatory speech and let it show us where there's still work to be done in our unconscious mind.
Yes. Well, let's check in with
with our caller and see what they have to say.
All right, hey, caller 910, you're on the air with Michael.
Hey, Michelle, how are you? This is Susan.
Oh, lovely Susan. Hello, thank you for calling in. I heard you might have a question about some things that we learned during the Laws of Living over August.
Yes, I do. It's really actually about the support group. Hi, Michael, Jeannie, and Dr. Tim. I love the conversation, and my mind is firing conversation with all of you about what you said. Dr. Tim, one thing I want to say about what you were saying, I talked to my the mother of my grandbaby, and I was telling her about someone being on stage and playing a skit and how people in the audience, one person might get angry, another might be crying, and another one might just laugh hysterically. And I said, so the person on stage that's putting this on is resonating different things in different people. Just because one person gets angry doesn't mean what the person did on stage actually evoked that anger. And she actually got it. It was such a great moment. So anyway, that's what came to mind when you were talking. And I thought, how awesome that you have the privilege of holding the space of love for people to come to you and talk.
So, it is indeed.
Yes. So I want to take a deep breath. I have prayed to Ruka to help me to get the experience of the Laws of Living Intensive into words to speak on the call. And Michael, your intro was so beautiful, and I was thinking how much I love and appreciate you and Jeannie both for your willingness to come on the radio show every day and open it up like it's the first time someone has ever heard of the work and share it such a inspirationally enthusiastic intro. It's just beautiful. It feeds me. It's like a B12 shot every day. I tell people, get on the radio show. Just listen. And I have the privilege of being able to put my headset on and do my job and still listen. It's beautiful. So thank you. Oh, taking a deep
breath. Thank you for saying thank you. And we're just delighted to be on the team. And every time I say it, it is like saying it new again. And to keep learning it every day on new levels is monumental.
It's a beautiful reflection. And I'm building the brain cells one day at a time, and so happy. I want to share, when I came back from the Laws of Living, a lot of people have asked me about it that are doing the work and went to the Y again. And the first few days, or maybe week, I don't even, anyway, it's been difficult for me to find words to put it into words. To integrate has been enough. And I say now it's like an airplane landing. I was in total bliss. It was the best thing I've ever done for myself, beyond doubt, worth more than 10 years worth of therapy in 16 days. Incredible. Beyond words for me at this moment. But I'll say it's like an airplane starting to land as I got back and I got into my non-being part of some of my life. And I began to come down closer and closer to the ground. And I was like, no, I don't want to go down. I was thinking to myself and Ruka, how can I stay up? And then I got this beautiful email from you, Michael, with the requirements for the next 6 weeks to get certified in the Laws of Living. And I'm going to tell you, I laughed out loud because so much of what you were requiring us to do to get that certification was what I had let fall by the wayside while I picked up my non-being life. And I say non-being because, you know, it was just, I had stopped. I was still doing the 5 worksheets or more a day and the verbal links and so forth. You know, I didn't seem to find the time. And I know my regulatory speech is showing, so you can help me and I'll write it down. But as I decided and made the decision, yes, I want to do certification, I made a list on my iPhone exactly what I had to do and a checklist every day that I could do it, and I started to incorporate those in my life. I am in the airplane taking off again, and I am holding the presence of love for the world, loving everyone that I meet, just like my secondary purpose says. Just amazing. I went through a drive-thru a few minutes ago to get something to drink, and I saw someone that's a manager of that I actually am close with, and I I wanted the lady to tell him I just loved him, this immense love. Rachma was pouring from me, and I'm thinking, who, what is going on? And it's so beautiful. And that is the experience that I have after being at the Laws of Living for those 16 days. That's better than words to just tell you the overflowing Rachma that I feel in my world. And what's happening, it's like everything that happens, every step I take is being led by Ruka. I mean, there's so many things. I had a call yesterday from a lady who wants to get married, and her husband, to be, is in prison. And I was thinking, okay, that sounds good to me. So it's just, it's beautiful. So with all that being said, just a little bit, I'll share more when I get more brain cells. I'm creating the format for the Laws of Living support group. And, you know, Michael, I asked you a year ago about us doing a support group, and I was I had all these thoughts about why it didn't happen, and now I know it was the right thing to do, and I needed the Laws of Living under my belt or under in my brain cells to know exactly how maybe it would open up to be. So when I got the email from you, I was thinking we would just do one session a week in the Laws of Living. And now I'm thinking, in the support group that I led before, we had a list of all the tools. And each sponsor person would read a tool and share for 2 minutes how they're using it in their life. And it was very inspiring for the new people that were coming on board with the work. And so I was thinking, as I'm looking at my list of tools that I'm using now for the Laws of Living requirements certification, the ones that are there, we're going to have the support group. It would be nice if we had a blurb that would build the brain cells along each one of the tools, like verbal link and goal management, all of the above. And the one that I'm calling and asking a refinement or a question about is the verbal link, and that's why I keep saying that it's on the paper that we do it. There's not much of a write-up on it. So I was wondering, I know that this format will be refined several times as the reality management worksheet has been over the years. And I hope, and I have a vision, amazing vision, of these Laws of Living support groups being all over the world, in the prisons, after they often have the teachings been to support the people in continuing to doing the work, and also in the communities where we will be teaching this to support the people leading it and the people doing the work. This should be, like, required in school. This is what I've been looking for all my life. How does it work? So with that being said, I know I went on and on, and I'm so excited and I'm so happy, and I'm glad that I finally got a moment between my work that I can actually get on the radio show and ask the question. So with that, I will turn it over to you, Michael, and I'll be silent.
Well, I'm delighted that you're so excited. It is a pretty awesome process to engage. I am in full agreement. Interesting that you mentioned this, being all over the globe, and that these support groups could be literally everywhere. This morning, I was in my email searching for an email that had been missed or lost, and came across an email from meetup groups. I really don't know how the meetup folks got my name and email address, but they did. And I really don't know much of anything about meetup, but I did sign up for, they've got kind of a universal meetup sort of thing, and I just started kind of learning about it. But with what you're saying, you know, perhaps that would be something that you would be willing to pick up and look at and start to understand and integrate. There's apparently, and again, I just don't know how it works, but a universal meetup site on the web where, you know, they're looking for people who want to inspire people all over the globe to start support groups in their local community. So, and you know, whether those support groups might be on the telephone, as with the Laws of Living group that started out of this intensive recently, or whether it might be local community events or what have you. You know, I put out the invitation as to whether or not that might be something that you might be willing to take on as a project to learn about and to help to create meetup support for instance, all of the support groups around the country to help to inspire people to get them started and to put them on meetup.com. Again, I'm not sure how it all operates, but I just put that thought out. And if you're up for that, then you know, that's something we can communicate about. I would give you the sign-in information for the meetup that we have at this point, and just, you know, enhance it and move it forward.
No, Michael, I am
like
open.
Are you?
I'm open. I'll tell you what. I have in my secondary purpose that I share Rachma and the true forgiveness work with every person that I meet. Michael, that is quite literal. That is quite literal. I had one lady that I was working with, and she said, you know, I think I'm going to take you to my next class reunion. You can coach me. And I'm like thinking, okay, I might need to refine my secondary purpose to be more focused. So what you're saying may be that I'm willing is what I'm saying. I tell Ruka every day when I say my secondary purpose, use me as you see fit. I'm open to doing the work. So, you know, however it looks, I was just wondering, could you speak, and I will write it down, about the verbal links, even if I have to call back in and do the radio show where I stop it and write down. I want to put something like when we get to the verbal link tool, I want to say something in the meeting format about the benefits of doing verbal link or what it's really about. And I know that you have the brain cells and you know more about what you want us to learn.
Well, when you recognize the power of words, that reality, physiology, creative process is organized around frequency, and words represent frequencies, then the major idea of the verbal link is to recognize two things: that a verbal link can modify the impact of a stimulus. You know, the example we used in the intensive. It's interesting, we're going to be heading over when the show is over to Branson, and the woman who came to the Y workshop, who does the Karen Carpenter show over in Branson, you know, she came and did the Y workshop during Laws of Living. She was just there for a few hours, did a worksheet, and it's totally changed her life. And as a result of that, she has set it up, and on Saturday morning, you know, day after tomorrow, from 10 till 2:30, we're going to be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Live at the theater that she performs at. So we're actually heading over there right after the show to get that set up. But the example that I usually use in how the impact of a stimulus can be modified by words is, we all know that Karen Carpenter was an awesome, awesome talent, probably a multi-millionaire from her music, and she starved to death. I mean, she could have every nutrient and every supplement and every high-quality food in the world in her refrigerator, and she starved to death. She died, a very young woman, as a result of a verbal link, or perhaps a visual link. We don't know exactly, but somehow in her mind, she saw herself. You know, she looks in a mirror, and the picture of herself in the mirror would be a stimulus, and she sees herself as being fat, which obviously she was not, but her visual picture of herself was modified by that verbal link. And so, you know, we could imagine that in a situation like that, where someone suffers from anorexia, where they will eat food but then, you know, cause themselves to throw up, so that they won't put on excess weight, that person's verbal link is food equals ugly fat. And it totally changes their interaction with that stimulus food. Or the attractiveness of a behavior. So the behavior would be to sit down and eat a nutritious meal. And for someone who literally starves to death in front of food, that verbal link changes the attractiveness of something that is, you know, just natural and supportive of life. You eat a healthy dietary regimen. But with those kinds of links, behaviors change and in many cases are very destructive. Verbal links inside of relationships. Someone, you know, asks me a question and I'm supposed to be perfect. So the verbal link is someone questioning me means I'm not perfect or I'm going to get criticized or I'm going to be beat up. Then that verbal link causes me to find some way to express my displeasure at being questioned. So that would be an example of a verbal link. So in the case of food, a constructive verbal link would be good food equals healthy weight. And as one begins to write those verbal links, it starts to change those associations in the mind. For someone who's, you know, addicted to perfectionism, it might be being questioned wonderful instead of, you know, being questioned means I'm about to be, you know, berated or verbally abused or emotionally abused. So starting to shift those links is the idea of a verbal link exercise. And it's something that we suggest that a person sit down and take time, you know, 4 or 5 times a day to write the new verbal links that they want to develop. And to get it to the point where the mind in less than a 25th of a second pops back with its answer to this particular stimulus, the particular word that's being used, so that it's structured into the mind. And we tend to do behaviors out of thoughts. And so as we direct thoughts with those verbal links, our behaviors tend to grow in the direction of the links we choose to create and to break down the links that we've already created that are not constructive. Does that kind of get to your question?
That's beautiful. That's actually great. I was going to say, you know, remember, I don't know if you remember this in school, but I do. When someone was caught talking at an inappropriate time, the teacher would write on the board, I will not talk in class, and that was due the next day. 25 times you had to write that or ever, whatever. And I was thinking about the verbal links that were created by all the writing, and it was done quite often in the school where I went to, where a kid would get in trouble and there would be a statement that they had to write over and over and over. And, of course, the brain doesn't hear not, so it's, I will talk in class.
Exactly. It's set up exactly the opposite. The mind is a tricky device. That's why in the ancient teachings it was called the great deceiver.
Absolutely wonderful. I will get this recording and listen to it again and do a blurb about verbal links and get people to help me with it too, because the workshop that we're, or the support group, will be a group effort anyway. So thank you so much, Michael, for allowing me the space and the time to talk and to share and laws of living. What's coming to mind is, there needs to be, if possible, if there could be more intensives, wouldn't that be fantastic?
We're game. Need to create an interest for people to do it.
Right. Well, you know, Ruth is going to lead us, and Rachma is very attractive. So I see it happening, and I'm excited, and I'll just hold the vision, do my work, and show up. And I thank you guys for showing up, too, and we're sending you love and support.
I appreciate it, and I will get some information to our sign-in and such on the meetup groups, and if you'd be willing to take that on as a project and do some research on how we can really make that an effective tool for you know, making, like, for instance, Dr. Tim's support group, your support group, you know, the support groups that are going on around the country available to people, and the workshops that we're doing around the globe available to more and more people, that would be awesome.
Wow, I just got the brain cells to comprehend what you're saying. That's fantastic. I'd be more than willing. Thank you.
Great, great. Yeah, I just got an email from Andy yesterday. Now, I think he had left by the time you got here, but he was here for teacher training, and he's getting ready to do his first Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop for a group of people in Jacksonville, Florida. So, you know, to have him able to tap into a national meetup sort of thing, that he could put it on there, and that each individual, and again, I don't even know what all the possibilities are. If there's anybody out there who is an expert or even knows more than I do, which is next to nothing, about meetup.com or any other service like that, we would appreciate the support and finding ways to get the tools to become more available to more folks.
Sounds great. I'm in. Thank you. Take care. Have a
good
day.
I'll get some information to you. All right. Much appreciation.
Thanks.
Lots of love. Bye-bye. Okay, so we're down to about 20 minutes. Do we have any other hands up in the caller queue or anything happening in the chat room to be aware of?
Well, Michael, unfortunately at the library, the lack of flash player will not let me get onto the chat. So Jeannie's going to have to answer about what's going on in the chat room. As far as the switchboard goes, though, we do have a caller with their hand up.
Cool. Let's say hello and see what's on their mind.
All right. Caller 813, you are on the air.
Yes, this is Kathy from Tampa, Florida.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Yes, hi. Just I wanted to recommend this incredible film. It's called The Belle Verte, which is a Green Beautiful. It's a French film. And it's amazing. It's all about what you are talking about, and it's incredible, the what it happens and how to be connected with love and everything. Is just amazing film to be watched. So I just wanted to see if anyone has seen it or something. It's just amazing.
Okay, I didn't quite catch the name of the film. Could
it's
you repeat it again?
The Green Beautiful.
The Green Beautiful. Have not seen or heard of it, but check it out. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a French film, and it's really worth watching it. It's just amazing. So.
Cool. Well, we'll take a look and see what it looks like. The Green Beautiful. I haven't heard of it before.
And it's in YouTube, so you can. It's right there. So.
Uh-huh.
And it was banned in Europe or something. It was just incredible. That's the way we're supposed to be living, and it's exactly what you're talking about. So.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, I'm looking, and it looks like it's listed on Amazon. And we'll just see what we can do with it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. What else is exciting in your world? We haven't heard your voice in a while.
I know. It's been forever, but it's actually just doing the work, and it's amazing. I feel more lighter every time. It just really works incredible once you take responsibility of what's happening inside of you and not outside. It just changes your whole life, really. So it's just living a truly beingness, living that life from that true beingness. I just see how life just tastes differently. It's just sweeter. It's just amazing. So I appreciate all the work that you have done and to just wake me up to that reality of my beingness, really.
Glad to be on the team, young lady.
Yes, it is amazing. So I'm just passing the word to everyone that comes into my presence. So.
Cool. Fabulous.
Yep.
All right. Well, you have a blessed day, and thank you for
your
call.
Thank you. Okay, then.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I'll just add in that there's nothing going on in the chat room. I'm actually signed in as two different people, so I'm wondering if that means I'm split. signed in as Jeannie, and I'm also signed in as Earth Angel, so I can talk to myself and nobody knows, huh? But,
there you go.
Yeah. But nobody has their hand up, and no one is asking any questions in the chat room, so it's real quiet right now.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking at Amazon for the Green Beautiful, and it isn't showing up there. It came up as a possibility, but then it disappeared. So we'll have to
Michael,
look around and see if we can find
it. I found it on YouTube as the full movie with subtitles.
Cool. Fabulous. Thank you.
So if you go to YouTube and type in The Green Beautiful, it comes up. One of the options is it says it's the full film. It's an hour and 29 minutes, and you can look into it there.
Cool. I'll do it. I'll do it. Very cool. So do we have any other questions from anyone? Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. I don't think there's anybody in queue, so if you have a question, if you have a thought for us, then we would be absolutely delighted to share what we can and support you in integrating these tools into your life and making them a reality. In the meantime, if there isn't anyone with a hand up, you know, we had talked yesterday with Peter a little bit about the law of Janta in the Norwegian countries, and I'm just looking on Wikipedia. I had told Peter that I would bring that up on my computer today when we were talking. So, Peter, if you happen to be there, we'd love to hear your voice, but it's interesting, the secondary title or the subtitle to this law of Janta, and it's J-A-N-T-E, is called the Who Do You Think You Are Law. And it was written by a Danish author, and it is the idea that there's a pattern of group behavior toward individuals within Scandinavian communities that negatively portrays and criticizes individual successes and achievement as unworthy and inappropriate. And certainly, Peter, with our conversation yesterday, that there was another layer of that, you know, coming up for you, having been born and raised in Sweden, that this sort of permeates the whole culture and becomes part of the mindset of it's unworthy or it is inappropriate for me to actually express anything unique about myself as a human creator. And we're offering that each and every one of us comes into this world with a unique purpose, and we each have a contribution to make. And this whole idea of the Janta law goes in the exact opposite direction of human life. It's my take would be that it's destructive of human life, because when we recognize that we each have a unique contribution and a unique purpose, you know, you go back to Yeshua and he says, the things I do, you too can do and greater. In other words, shine, baby, shine. Of course, there are many who have interpreted the words of the man who says, the things I do and greater, as, well, no, I just put myself down. I live under this Janta law, in effect. It is an extension or a logical progression from many so-called religious ideas. I'd offer their errant religious ideas that put down the human being into a status lower than the worm, you know, that we're supposed to be crawling in the earth like a worm and to be in self-deprecation rather than uplifting ourselves into the space of a human life. The truth of who we are, the expression that is really divine, and when we put that into the ground, it's not even ourselves that we're dragging down, but it's really the whole creation, the whole created world. And, you know, it's just kind of crazy that we have young people who are coming into the world and are brought up in cultures, whether they're religious cultures or in this case a a community culture of self-deprecation. Pretty bizarre. And the whole idea, Wikipedia says there are 10 rules of this Yanta law, and these 10 rules are all expressive, it says, of variations on a single theme, usually referred to as a homogeneous unit. You're not to think you're anyone special or that you're better than us. And as I said yesterday, I haven't quite figured out who the better than us is. So the 10 rules, this is what Wikipedia says about this so-called Yanta law. The 10 rules is you're not to think you're anything special. You're not to think you're as good as us. Again, whoever the us is. You're not to think you're smarter than us. You're not to convince yourself that you're better than us. You're not to think you know more than us. You're not to think you're more important than us. You're not to think that you're good at anything. You're not to laugh at us. You're not to think that anyone cares about you. And you're not to think that you can teach us anything. They're the 10 rules that have permeated this Norwegian culture. And my input is, you know, if we look at, say, for instance, number 9, you're not to think that anyone cares about you. How insane and non-human can you get when one of the number one characteristics of a true human being is that of caring, that of having compassion for self and others? And so if you bought into this, and Peter, if you happen to be listening, or we'll drop you an email to invite you to listen to this show, know that you are cared about greatly by us, and that we are absolutely here to support you. And each one of us comes in with something unique that we can share with the whole, that we can teach to each other, and that you have a unique talent and a unique capability. Each one of us does. When they say with these 10 rules, you're not to think you're good at anything. How bizarre to teach a creator called a human to put away the truth of who they are with such foolish thoughts. And, you know, I just hold the space, Peter, that maybe you'll be the person that teaches in the Scandinavian countries the insanity of this Yanta law, this put down that is used to simply control people. And when one in this breakdown of this Yanta law on Wikipedia, it says in the book, the Janters or Yanters who transgress this unwritten law are regarded with suspicion and hostility as it goes against the communal desire to preserve harmony, social stability, and uniformity. I know that when we were in Sweden last time, in one particular case, we had gone into a government office, and there were people who were employees who were working with helping those who were unemployed get jobs. And we couldn't even get anybody to put their hand up to answer a simple question about holding a newborn child and describing the newborn, and found out afterward that it was really this Yanta law in operation, that nobody wanted to be out of harmony with what everybody else thought. And then the 11th rule of Yanta, it expresses here, is maybe you don't think I know a few things about you. In other words, it just, the whole thing is about self-deprecation and threat. And it's time for us to just wake up to who we are. Oh, and I'm told, Jeannie just told me that Peter's there. So let's say hello and see if you have any comments or any thoughts about how deeply we care for you and hold you in our hearts, so that you know that at least two people in this world deeply, deeply care about you, Peter, and we're glad you're here.
My pleasure. And it Always brings me to tears to hear you to read those different those Ten Commandments as they are. And as you may, we never really spoke of those. So it's like invisible, but still it is so present in the society.
Right.
There's often talk about it. Oh yeah, you know, the Junta Law, and then we kind of laugh about it. But like, for instance, with my own experience yesterday, it's so ingrained in the system, being my system, the cells and everything. So even though we don't talk about it, it's still there. And it's just, like you say, it's just crazy and it's sad to hear. And my take on it, when I hear you read it, like when you say us, I think us is fellow man. So it's just a perfect way of... So looking around at Michael and Jeannie, well, for instance, that I shouldn't think that I'm anything better than us, meaning everybody around me. So that will just help us all to stay down.
So everybody holds everybody down.
Yeah, exactly. It's the unperfect, but in this sense, perfect way to just keep everybody down. Yes, sedated.
So let's change it. Let's raise everybody up. Let's get back to human life and the unique and awesome expressions we're designed to be. And, you know, it might be worth, even though it's kind of unspoken in your culture, as you were talking about yesterday, you know, what you had shared with us was basically the fact that you were in the doldrums of experiencing all of that. And you might take and do some worksheets around each one of those, you know, taking each one of those ideas or those 10, 11 rules and doing actual worksheets on each of them.
I remember Tanya mentioning that she met a man who had gone to a school where they, every day, they recite those 10 laws of Junta every day.
Oh, my God.
That's how they started the school day.
What a horrible thing to do to a child.
Yeah, and this young man, he was invisible. He didn't really say anything. He was there, but he was not there.
Yeah, well, that's the insanity of the non-being mind, the hostility and fear-based mind. And, of course, there are those who, I think, if they, because of their own insecurities, feel that if they can control another, then, you know, they're going to somehow avoid their own pain and their own trauma. And I see that there's a reference on Wikipedia to a thing that they call the crabs in a bucket mentality, and that this is in particularly popular among the Filipino community. And the phrase, they describe it as crabs in a bucket, describes a way of thinking best described by the phrase, if I can't have it, neither can you. You know, and the whole idea, and again, this is, you know, far removed from your culture, but still just taps right into it. And the description refers to a pot of crabs, and individually, each crab could escape from the pot, but instead, they grab at each other in a useless king of the hill competition, which prevents any from escaping and ensures their collective demise. And the analogy in human behavior is that members of a group will attempt to pull down any member who achieves success beyond the others out of envy, conspiracy, or competitive feelings. It's just, you know, it's so non-human and so destructive of the truth of who we are. So we're just here to heal that insanity and bring forward the truth of who each of us is. And our time frame is complete again. We have to call the show to a close. We appreciate each of you being with us. Monday will be a whole new week, and bring a stranger to the show, and we'll look forward to communication. Blessings. Lots of love. Have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.